Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Now, what is your name, sir?
My name is Michael Hastings.
Mr. Hastings, this is who's going to conduct your hearing at this time. Anybody has... He's a West, S-M-U-S.
One of you guys.
I don't have him either.
I do.
Okay, well, sir, the Honorable Mr. Johnson will conduct your hearing. He will be the lead for your hearing, so just hold on, sir.
Okay.
So give me one minute, I'll just complete some paperwork, okay? Sir, just for the record, could you please just state your name, your ADC number for us, please?
Yeah, Michael Hastings, 173-438.
Okay, Mr. Hastings, you're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency, sir. I'm going to introduce you to the board members conducting your hearing today. To my far left is the Honorable David Neal. In the middle, you have the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who's our board chair. Sir, my name is Michael Johnson. I'm going to be acting as your panel chair. Also with us, sir, representing the Department of Correction, as well as your parole officer, is Mr. Turner, sir. I do want to acknowledge to you that you have two supporters here today, Ms. Hastings and Ms. Is it Garcia?
Yes.
Okay. Are both of you going to be testifying today?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Mr. Hastings, prior to your hearing today, you received and signed a notification form advising you of this board's hearing today. You recall receiving and signing that form, sir? Mr. Hastings.
I'm sorry, I'm having trouble with the volume. We're trying to fix that.
All right.
Hello?
Can you hear us, sir?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay, sir, prior to your hearing today, you received and signed a notification form advising you of this board's hearing. Do you recall receiving and signing that form, sir?
Yes.
On that form, it notified you of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or to hire a licensed attorney at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney or are you representing yourself today, sir?
Yeah.
Are you representing yourself today, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you, sir. At this time, sir, I am going to swear you in along with Ms. Hastings and Ms. Garcia and Mr. Turner, okay? Do all of you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God and do you so affirm? Mr. Hastings?
Yes.
Ms. Garcia?
Yes.
Ms. Hastings?
I do.
And Mr. Turner?
I do.
Okay. So your hearing will be conducted in two phases. In phase one, the board will make a determination whether the terms and conditions of your community supervision should be have been violated. In phase two, the board will determine whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. We're going to start out in phase one, Mr. Hastings. You have three allegations listed on your warrant. I'm going to read each of those allegations to you. When I read the allegation to you, I need you to state whether the allegation is either true or false. Do you understand what I'm requesting, sir?
I won't be able to elaborate on any of those allegations?
Yes, sir. When we go into phase two of your hearing, you will be able to elaborate on those.
Okay. I understand.
Okay. So the first allegation on your warrant states that you're in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision Number 7 as demonstrated by your use of marijuana on or about June 29, 2018, per detached lab report dated July 1st, 2018. Sir, is that true or false?
That is what the allegation says, right. That's true.
Okay. So the next allegation on the warrant states that you're in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision Number 7, as demonstrated by your use of methamphetamine on or about June 14, 2018, per the test GCMS lab report dated July 5th, 2018. Sir, is that true or false?
July 14th, is that what it says?
Says that, that demonstrated by the use of methamphetamine on or about June 14th, 2018, per the task GCMS lab report dated July 5th, 2018.
That is true.
Okay, thank you, sir. And so the last allegation states that you're in violation of allegation number 4, as demonstrated by your failure to successfully complete substance abuse counseling on or about July 2nd, 2018, as directed on June 28, 2018. Sir, is that true or false?
That is true.
Okay, thank you, sir. All righty then. Based on the admission of Mr. Hastings, I'm going to move to find that he was delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision, that he may have lapses, about to lapse into criminal ways or company.
Second. Agree.
Okay, motion by myself, second by Dr. Wright. Agree, Mr. Neal. Okay, so we're going to go on to phase 2 of the hearing. During phase 2, the board will make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate you under community supervision. We're going to start out phase 2 with getting some additional information from parole officer, Mr. Turner. Then I'm going to, the board's going to go over some information with you and then give you the opportunity to present any information that you'd like to present to the board. And then we're going to allow Ms. Hastings and Ms. Garcia to testify, present any information that they'd like to present to the board, okay?
Okay.
All right, Mr. Turner.
Mr. Hastings was released from ADC custody on 1/19/2018 and arrested on 7/2/2018 by ADC. No new charges noted. He's returned back to ADC custody on 7/2/2018 with a CICD of 221/2020, zero abscondes. Current conviction, 2004, aggravated assault, 15 years. Prior convictions, 2001, commitment A, count 1, theft, 1 year. 2001, commitment A, count 7, criminal damage, 1 year. This is his second term in ADC with a CUIR score of 4.4. Mental health score of 3, substance abuse score of 2. STG information, self-admitted to being a member of the security threat group Cedeños and a member of the California street gang Playboys. Prior terms of supervision, 2003, TIS release, absconded for 454 days, arrested on current offense, reached CSED in custody. Disciplinary is significant with drugs, disorderly conduct, assault with a weapon, and assault on an inmate noted. Other arrest, 2001, burglary tool possession, Arizona felony conviction probation. 2002, possession of narcotic, Arizona county jail, has a GV score of G5, B6.
I see that when you were released, you were approved to reside at 20054 North 15th Drive. And then it looks like on May 16th, you were reported to the state at 1845 East Ocotillo in Phoenix. Then it looks like on June 8th, you were reported your residence back, looks like at 20054 North 15th Drive. Then it looks like on June 15th, you established residence at MRC located at 24601 North 29th Avenue. So, where was your last location that you were staying at? Was it at MRC?
Yes, that was the last location.
Okay. So, the other address on North 15th Drive, whose address is that?
Is that the Hobbiteer room?
No, 20054 North.
Oh, that's my mother's house.
Okay, that was your mother's house?
Yeah.
And what about the Ocotillo?
The Ocotillo address, that was a room that I checked into on my own request.
Okay.
I wasn't sent there or anything, I did that on my own.
Okay, it doesn't show that you were working during that period of time. Were you working during that period of time?
No.
No? Okay. Is there a reason why you didn't work?
What's that?
Is there a reason why you did not work?
Well, upon my release, within the first month and a half, I was in a really bad accident, and I was in the hospital for like a little over a week, I think, and after that, my foot never healed right, and I was waiting for I was basically going for follow-up on my foot and everything, and waiting for that to get taken care of.
Okay.
Yeah, I could barely put my own weight on it. After I went home from the hospital, I wasn't even able to walk. I was on crutches and a walker for at least another month, maybe longer. And after I was able to walk, I could barely put my own weight on it, so I wasn't able to work.
So when were you involved in the accident, sir?
When?
Yes, sir.
I got out June, February, March. I think sometime in March, the beginning of March.
Okay. So you were released in January.
Right.
Okay. Okay, so according to your program, it looks like that when you were released on January 19th, you were assigned drug testing. You had the color maroon. You failed to submit two urine samples on May 18th and May 30th. You tested positive for methamphetamine on June 14th, and then you tested positive for THT on June 29th.
Yeah, can I say something about that?
Yes, sir, go ahead.
Okay, the ones in May, what me and my sister did around at that time, I think it was done wrong. At test, you can have, when your color comes up, it'll send you a text letting you know that your color changed up. But I don't think they programmed it right into my phone, so I never got those texts. And I was wondering about it, why I haven't got a text from there. So one day I called Taz, and by luck or by chance, my color came up, and I did not get the text. So I knew at that time that we obviously didn't program it right into my phone, because I didn't get that text for that day, the day that I just happened to call and my color was shown. So that's why I didn't go to those. I didn't even know I had those until I got the paperwork right here. And so that's what happened with those ones, and for the ones in May. And the one, the THC one, I had a medical marijuana card, and I was smoking marijuana literally on the street. And the last day I smoked marijuana was June 13th, which is the day before I entered MRC. So, and then I got tested at MRC on June 29th, which is barely 2 weeks after I had already smoked. And it's common knowledge, it's pretty common knowledge, that marijuana stays in your system for a minimum of 30 days. Even during 30 days, it's carried into your fat cells. And if your liver works out, it's released from those fat cells, and it's redistributed into your system. But, so the one for the 29th, that came out positive for THC, I was not even clean from the streets yet. I was still had that in my system from smoking marijuana literally out there on the street. So that's why that one came up dirty when they tested me in there.
Okay.
Okay, and the methamphetamine, yes, my PA called me and told me she wanted me to drop. I told her that I was dirty and that I wanted to get help. And she said, well, just go ahead and drop anyway and come see me in the morning, which I did. And she said, yes, you were dirty. I said, I know, that's why I told you yesterday. And she said, well, we're going to put you in the ITH program here at the MRC. And I said, okay. And obviously, I didn't want to be held in a facility like that, just because I had just got released. But once I was there, they did my intake, and I decided to take full advantage of the opportunity that was given to me. And they asked me in my intake, what do you think you need, a 30-day program or a 90-day program? And I told the counselor, Rachel, who did my assessment, I told her, I want to be selfish and say all I need is 30 days so I can get back out there. But I'm here and I want to take advantage of the help that's being offered. So can you give me the 90-day program? Which she did, and I got into the 90-day program. While I was there at the MRC, now this is a facility for, if you're not familiar with it, it's a facility for nothing but parolees, people that have just been recently released from parole and are going there instead of going to prison or things like that. So, I had a 15-year sentence. Out of that 15 years, I had to do a little over 13. Two and a half of that was done in general population, in GP. But due to my charges, I wasn't able to be housed on GP No More for danger to my life. So I went to alternative housing, which they placed me into the sex offender population, the SOs. Even though I'm not an SO, it was a safe place for me to go, and so I agreed to be housed there. And so that's why I stayed up the remaining of my sentence the last 3 years or so. And over here at the ICH program, you have nothing but general population inmates or offenders that are in that program. And there's a group of them that were playing politics, prison politics, where they started running checks on people and seeing what people were there, what they were in prison for. And they were also, they were just running checks on it was just the Mexicans that were doing this. They were running checks on the Mexicans that were there because the group of Mexicans got there, not all together at the same time, but they all ended up there and they wanted to play the prison game because they were just convicts that didn't go out of that. So they were doing that, and not only that, somebody arrived there who knew me from me being in general population. And they basically told the other people there, the other offenders, I know this guy, he's a prison term, no good in their eyes, you know. So out of all that, one of the girls that I got comfortable with, he took upon this information and told me, hey, you need to be careful because these guys ran check on you and they're already plotting a way to get you. So by this, I went to staff with this information, and I felt staff was not trying to address the situation properly because at first they didn't want to even hear me or deal with it. After I spoke the situation, they wanted me to be back on the grounds. Like, they just wanted me back to my housing area and all this and that after I had already brought it into staff and everybody knew that I had done that. And so I asked them, okay, well, can I please call my mother so I can let her know what's going on? I felt my life was in danger and I needed to reach out to let them know what was going on in there. In case something did happen, there would be some kind of record or documentation that I was reaching out for help. So I attempted to call my mom over and over, and she was at work, so she wasn't able to answer her cell phone. So at this time, I did not want to leave like that and go back to the facility. So I called, well, without letting the outside know what was going on. So I called 911. When I got the operator on the line, I told him my name and I told him where I was located. In the middle of me talking to the operator, Sergeant Apple, the staff there, made me hang up a phone call that was in the office to 911. And All I was doing was trying to seek help because I felt the staff there were not providing that help and that they did not really care about my situation. So I did what I thought I was in legal right to do, which is call 911 and request help because I was in fear for my life. And so that's what brought me back here. I asked the PO there, why am I being placed back into custody? Can I just go to a different location? And they said no, because I called 911. And that's what brought us here today.
Okay. So you did explain that how you missed the two, you missed your two UAs, but you didn't explain about the methamphetamine.
The methamphetamine, there's very little explanation. I relapsed, and I used, and that's why I told my parole officer when I was talking to her the day before that I did relapse and that I wanted help. And that's why I got placed into the ITH program for that treatment. And That was the outcome of that WDA. I got placed into the program for treatment because I wasn't out there, I wasn't getting high all the time, I wasn't committing any kind of crime. I relapsed and I seen what was happening. So I even tried to get help before my PA even. I felt my urges kicking. Coming back to me, so that's why I went to the rehab before my PO even asked me to go to one. And so when I did relapse and I told her I was dirty and I went ahead and dropped her home anyway, that's why I requested help too on the phone call. I told her I need help. And that was the whole point in putting me into the MRC program.
Okay, but you didn't complete the MRC program.
Huh?
Did you complete the MRC program?
No, I wasn't able to due to everything that I just explained to you. There was a threat to my life. And because I tried to address that threat by calling 911, they brought me here instead.
Okay. All right, so let me see if the board has any additional questions for you.
No, sir.
Okay, so no additional questions coming from the board. So I'm going to go to, you have two supporters here, and I'm going to give them the opportunity to come up and speak at this time. However, they can choose which order they come up and speak in. Please just state your full name prior to speaking.
Can I have a chance now or maybe after them to say what I want to do? What I want to do if I'm reinstated on the back to my parole? Cause
yes, sir.
Is it okay to say something real quick?
Go ahead, sir.
The rehab I was at prior to the MRC program, it was Crossroads program. And we have a family friend who works for Crossroads. Immediately upon my release, I would like the chance to finish the all I was getting, which was basically drug treatment. And I can do this there at Crossroads. I can be there for 90 days in a public place without any worry about my safety, about that I don't have to worry about prison politics being random, because this is society, this is public. And I can finish a drug program that I was going to do. And I would like that opportunity to be there to do that. And like I said, we do have a family friend who works there, so I can get into that immediately upon my release.
Okay, so I'm going to have your supporters come up and speak at this time.
Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh.
Do I come up?
Yes, ma'am. Just come up to the mic and state your name, and then go ahead and present the information.
My name is Mary Jane Garcia. I'm Michael Hastings' mom, and I'm here to request a second opportunity, a second chance for him. He can go back into Crossroads upon release. He was in fear for his life. Michael lived for 10 years like this in the prison, always in fear for his life, for what he had done in his past. And this is basically, they were playing politics in there, and that's what happened. These are all guys that are fresh out of prison. And somebody knew Michael from the prison and spreaded the word. And this is why he was trying to get a hold of me. Michael did relapse. And as far as, we all have a past. My family has had a past with drugs and alcohol. I'm a recovered drug addict myself. I've been clean for over 15 years. It's hard, and I understand what he's going through. And it's not easy. But he's got support. He's got his mom, sister, from aunts, and we all support him. And he's gonna make it, because we're fighting the good life. We're fighting the good fight. And I know that we're all gonna be okay. I'm doing well, I'm doing great, and I can be one of his best supporters here. And it just, he's forgiven that he relapsed it. And he's gonna be out soon, he's gonna be out in 2020 if he has to stay in there. But I would rather have him here now so we can start this progress. You know, and he'll be fine, and he's gonna come out of this good, and he's gonna be successful. It's just, it happens, relapse happens, and drugs, that meth is the devil itself. So I would like for you guys to give him the second opportunity. He's been locked up since he was 18 years old, and I've been living in the prison life with him. I've been going to see him, I've stood by him, and I'm not giving up on him, and I believe in him. And thank you.
Okay, the board has any questions for Ms. Garcia. Okay, thank you, Ms. Garcia.
My name is Alicia Hastings. I'm the sister of Michael Hastings. I'm not here today to speak on his behalf. I also have a past with drug addiction. I've been clean for over 6 years already. I went to Crossroads, and that's where I gained my success from. I'm currently a new mother. I have a child of a 2-year-old, and I'm a manager at a retail location. So I am proof that if you work and if you try, that you will succeed. I do believe in my brother. We've spoken a lot, and we've had heartfelt conversations. And he never believed that he would see the daylight outside of those walls. And so when he came out here, it was very hard for him, and he felt very hopeless. But I do stand by him to support him, to show him the way. We are not a family that will enable him and cover it up. That's why he is where he is right now. We will stress, we will hold him accountable for his actions, but also support him in whatever he needs. I do believe that he can succeed. And if you guys would please feel in your hearts to give him a second opportunity at this, we would greatly appreciate it, and we would be more than willing to show you that he can do it. Thank you.
Okay, any questions about the board? Thank you. All right, thank you, Ms. Hastings. Okay, Mr. Hastings, the board's going to go into a discussion. So about a board's in discussion, I'm going to ask you to remain on the phone so that you can hear the discussion taking place amongst the board. And then the board will make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate you under community supervision. I do want to say to you and to your mother and your sister, prior to us going into discussion, that this board has no ability to place or recommend where an inmate goes once they are they're out on parole. Then I'm going to go to Mr. Turner. I saw that you had your hand up.
Yes, I wanted to clarify a couple of things for the record. As far as the text message, there was a program, there's a new system now, but there was a program where they would receive text messages. by the time that they sign up, we sign them up for the drug treatment or the cover of the day, they are informed it is their responsibility to check daily. If they don't get a text message, they are required to call to verify daily, not wait 2 or 3 or 4 days if they're supposed to check every day. As far as the incident at MRC where he's claiming that staff was not trying to assist him, at the time they were trying to put him in a transitory cell because of his claims so that they could, that's the protocol. Someone states that their life is in danger or something like that, we secure them in a place where they can be secured. Then we move forward. At that time is when he requested to call his mother. They allowed him to call his mother, and then he hung up when that attempt didn't go through and called 911.
Can I say something? Can I comment on that?
Hold on 1 minute, sir. Go ahead.
Okay. The other thing I want to say is any drug treatment program would have to be something that is approved by the Department of Corrections, which if it's approved means that there is going to be other offenders going to those same programs.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead, Mr. Hastings. We're coming up on the conclusion of your hearing, sir. Please do not repeat yourself.
Okay, what I wanted to say is, before I was placed, I didn't get placed into a holding cell or what he's trying to describe until after the phone call was made. Initially, they were trying to put me back on the ground. Well, I was there, I was the one who was experiencing it, that's why I was freaking out so much. So when they took me behind the door, it's when I asked the sergeant if I could use the phone. And that's when he allowed me to use the phone. After the phone calls were made, it's when they put me into these holding cells. But initially, they were trying to put me back on the ground.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Mr. Hastings. The board's going to go into discussion. So while the board's in discussion, I'm going to ask you to remain on the phone. I need you to remain silent while the board's into discussion, okay?
Okay.
The board is now into discussion. You have the opportunity to hear, and let me first of all commend Ms. Alicia Hastings and Ms. Mary Jane Garcia, the mother and the sister. I do want to commend you on your sobriety and what you've done and what you've gone through. That is really a great accomplishment that you've done. So I do want to thank you and commend you for that. Looked at this with Mr. Hastings and what he's going through. I do understand the issues that he said he's had at the second facility, but the problem that I have is that I don't really hear the real sincerity of Mr. Hastings of wanting to really get into a program and get off drugs. Everything that he's done appears to be someone else's problem or some other decision. He was in a program, CAP, he was in a program there, and he didn't complete that program. And you know, he missed several classes in that program. His first, he went into the program on February 2nd. He was put in the program and he completed his intake on February 2nd. And then he attended board cap classes on May 3rd, March 7th, and March 28th. And then, this was March, April, May. And then he failed to attend classes during that same period of time. He didn't attend a class in March. He didn't attend one in April. He missed two classes in April, then again in May, which tells me that, you know, if he was sincere about that, he would have completed those programs, in which there was not the problems with the threats at that program. And then when he, PO continued to work with him and put him in another program at IT, the ITH program at MRC, is when he had the last threats that were actually being made, and he didn't complete that program. But I'm just not seeing Mr. Hastings being, you know, as sincere as really trying to complete those programs. He said that he did get a marijuana card. I'm not sure if that was approved through his PO or not, but which is why he tested positive for marijuana. He said that he missed his first two calls that were actually to be made because he didn't have it on there. However, he has been on prior parole, and he knows that he has to contact his PO, and he was actually an absconder for 454 days during that period of time that he not only used this particular time, he not only used marijuana, but he also used
methamphetamine during that. I just, we even with the support of his family, his mother and his sister, I think that's a great support system, but I do think that he has to want to do it, and I just don't see him as being sincere at this time and trying to do that based on his past record and based on what he's had the opportunity to do now. But I'm willing to listen to the rest of my colleagues.
Agree.
Therefore, I am going to, we're actually in discussion now, so we don't take it, but I'm going to come out of discussion just because you're here to give you that opportunity. What?
During the one program that he was supposed to take, that's when he got into the vehicle accident, and that's when he was excused from that program. Shortly after that, that's when he started going, he put himself into the Crossroads Rehab Center. So that's why he started the program, but then he got into that car accident, and then he was excused because Michael couldn't walk. Michael was in ICU. He was ventilated for like 3 days in ICU for like 5 days, and he lasted in a hospital for like 10 days. So Michael was not able to go to those classes. And then he was on a walker for a good amount of time, and they were bringing physical therapy to the house because he couldn't walk. So that's why during that whole time he couldn't go to the classes.
Okay.
I'm gonna go
back into discussion, but your mom and your sister was here, and I wanted to just at least give them that opportunity since they have been here. Sitting here and waiting. I do understand what you're saying. I want to tell you that, you know, looking at his record, the problem that I have, he attended some of those classes afterwards. After he had the accident in March, he still attended some of those classes, and some classes he didn't attend during that period of time. So I do understand about that. Had he been into the accident and not attended any classes after that, I would understand. But, you know, in between there, he would attend the class and he wouldn't attend the class. He'd attend some that he wouldn't, even after the accident that he was actually in. So to me, that says that he's not really making the effort, although there are some problems. And like I said before, my issue with understanding this is that he has to want, really, really want to get himself straightened out. He can't have an excuse for every time when he relapses and he does drugs. And I'm just not seeing that in him. No, sir. Therefore, I am going to move to revoke the community supervision of Mr. Hastings. He will be released on February 21st of 2020, during which time he won't be on any parole or community supervision, and hopefully he could work with his CO3 during that period of time and get into some programs while he's still in the custody. That's not a threat matter, and get himself together so that when he is released, if he makes that decision to do it on his own, then when he's released, he's off drugs and will be able to get out, and certainly he could work with his sister and his mother to maintain his sobriety while he's out. That would be my recommendation at this time. My motion, rather.
Second.
Agreed.
There's motion by myself, second by Dr. Wright. Agreed. Mr. Neal. Mr. Hastings?
Yes, sir.
Sir, the board has voted to revoke your community supervision. You will be released on February 21st of 2020, sir. If you're sincere about really getting off drugs, sir, take the time while you're still incarcerated. Work with your CO3 there. Get into a program. Start doing some NAAA so that you can get yourself straightened out.
Hey, I respect your decision, and I appreciate your advice, and that's what I've always been doing. I got things that I didn't show to you at the box, but I've already completed 6 of the drug program, in-cell program here, and I understand you couldn't do it with sincerity in me. I'm sorry I wasn't able to represent that properly. Mostly sorry for my family, and but I am sincere, and I understand why you said you don't see the sincerity because of my past and actions, and I take full responsibility for that, and but this incident has opened my mind, my eyes, my heart to the damage I was committing and how much I am worth being successful out there. So even though I have to stay finish my parole here. That's fine. I'm going to continue to do my drug treatment that I've already started. I've already completed 6 of the programs. There's 21, and I've completed 6 within a month. So I'm going to continue to do that, and I just hope DOC has stuff to offer me after this 21 check is done. And with that, God bless you guys, and God bless my family. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hasten. We want to wish you the best of luck, sir, and continue to take those programs, sir. I think if your sincerity, if you complete those programs and work on it, work with your CO3, sir, that when you do get released, you won't be on any drugs, you'll have some sobriety time, you'll be able to work with your family who are very sincere in trying to help you and make sure that you get your life straightened out. So thank you for participating in your hearing. That is going to conclude your hearing at this time, Mr. Hasten. Please put your CO3 on the line, okay?
Hi, you folks.